5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message from Brody Thalman, Changing Our Defaults.
Good morning, church. Thanks for giving me a second. I had to run all the way from the back. So whether you're joining us in person or you're joining us online, once again, I'd like to say welcome and we're glad you're here. So we're in week 4 of 5 of a sermon series titled 5 to Thrive, which is an in-depth study of the 5 offerings we as United Methodists are asked to give to support our local churches. If you happen to miss one or more of the previous weeks, that's okay, because after the service, you can go to our website, Facebook page, or YouTube channel to catch up. But for now, I'll give a quick review of the series. So the 5 offerings we are asked to give are our prayers, our presents, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Now in week 1, Pastor Pamela talked about the power of prayer and how praying is not just about our relationship with God, but about our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Next, in week 2, Pastor Don talked about the importance of gifts. He discussed how living generously is a necessity for spiritual growth, because just like the Sea of Galilee, our souls are most alive when we are letting God's blessings flow through us instead of simply into us. And last week, the youth gave an awesome message on the necessity of presence. They talked about the importance of fellowship and how just like burning coals, we burn brighter together than we do separately. That leads us to this week's topic, the offering of service. Excuse me. Now, I'd say most of us know what service is, or we can at least point to examples of it. And I know many of you do serve in various roles. But what we're talking about here today isn't the world's definition of service, which is the one most of us grew up with, but Christian service, or biblical service. And it's my hope that by the end of the day, we'll not only learn what Christian service is, but how we can use it for our own spiritual growth and to benefit the kingdom. But before we do that, will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what is Christian service? Now, it seems like something that's kind of simple, and I think we can all point to Christians who live out a life of Christian service. But it may be something that I feel is hard to give an exact definition to because it's such a common part of our lives, if that makes sense. So I'm going to go piece by piece so that by the end we'll be able to get a full view of what the Bible calls us to do and what it means when we're told to serve. So as Christians, we are called to help those in need, and this forms the basis and outward view of Christian service. This, you can look pretty much anywhere in the Bible to see this. Just a couple examples. Acts chapter 20, verses 35 says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 say, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others." So what that means is that God is calling us to go and help and serve others. And in this aspect of Christian service, in practice, it looks very similar to the world's definition of service. Things like cleaning up trash on the side of the road, volunteering at a homeless shelter, or tutoring at the local elementary school are all examples of everyday acts of Christian service. So the question we're left with is, what separates Christian service from the service of the world? And the difference is that Christian service goes beyond simple volunteer activities and community service hours. A key aspect of Christian service is the intent behind the service. For Christian service to truly be Christian service, it must be done to help those in need and not to benefit oneself. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us the importance of intent. Starting in verse 1, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Jesus made it very clear that for our service to be blessed and ordained by God, it must be done out of love for others. Otherwise, it is spiritually meaningless. This is echoed later in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And this scripture, just a little side note, is very popular at weddings and on Instagram posts, but it talks about the importance of love. Starting at verse 1, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." What this scripture is telling us is that without love, all those acts that are good things mean nothing. And if you've read any of the Bible at all, you know the common theme is that God is love. So if we reread this, substituting God for love, lots of it becomes clear. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have God, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have God, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have God, I gain nothing." The Bible is very clear that without Christian love, which is based on God, our service is like smoke or vapor. It can look good, and it seems to be solid, but when you try to grab onto it, you will always come up empty-handed. Now, you may be sitting there wondering, why does intent matter? I mean, sure, it'd be best if people always acted out of the goodness of their hearts. But at the end of the day, if they're helping people, aren't they doing what God called them to do? And this is a question I've wrestled with, because I think it's a very good one. After all, doesn't it make much difference to those in need whether the people that are helping them are acting out of the best intentions of their hearts? To answer this question, I turned to the Bible, and as usual, I was provided an answer. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus is teaching his disciples about how the kingdom of God works, he tells them a story about the importance of serving others. Starting at verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you, or needed clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So what the scripture is teaching us is that serving and helping others is directly correlated with serving and helping God. Which makes sense, right? Because we learned in Genesis that we are all made in the image of God. And what these scriptures are confirming is that you can't separate serving others and serving God. So what that means is that when we serve with the wrong intentions, when we serve without Christian love, when we try to take away the Christian in Christian service, we end up taking the focus and honor off of God and placing it on ourselves and our own actions, intentionally or not. Now, if you've been here, you've probably heard the phrase, love God, love people. And in case you hadn't, that's okay. That's a phrase that I know we love saying up here. I think some of you say it's the Christian karate chop, love God, love people. And the whole idea is the vertical line is love God because God is in heaven and we are here. And the horizontal line is love people because we're supposed to be among the people. The one thing I love is that the image forms a cross. And the whole point is we're supposed to be at the crossroads because we're called to do both. Because at the end of the day, loving God and loving people are connected. So when we serve with the wrong intentions, we end up cutting God out of the picture, right? And if in our actions we are not loving God, that means we are not truly loving people. This is why our intentions matter. Because service isn't just about our relationship with others. It's about our relationship with God. Another thing that sets Christian service apart is its prevalence in our lives. So I'm going to tell you a little story about something that happened at college. So at SMU, they do something called the Big Event. It's a day of service that college students do when it's done nationwide. And I don't remember how much it was, but between all the colleges, I think it was 100,000 service hours in one day. It was a really impressive thing, and we did a lot of good. But I'd say for probably 80% of the people doing it, that was the only day they volunteered all year. Now, that act of service was good and important, and it did good. But if you're only doing it once a year, how much permanent good change are you making in the world? That is what separates the world service versus Christian service. The world service says, hey, to graduate, you need 200 hours of community service. So let's check that off on the list. Christian service says you were told to love your neighbors, and that isn't conditional. That isn't love your neighbors on Monday, or love your neighbors 3 days a week, or love your neighbors for 20 hours or whatever benchmark we just had to look at. God calls us to live a life of Christian service, and that's what separates it. And it makes sense, right? Because if Christian service is a major aspect of our relationship with God, shouldn't it be something we're doing quite a bit? I mean, if you have a family member that you truly love, do you only text them on their birthday? Again, if service is part of the ways that we communicate and worship God, it shouldn't be something we do once a year on Thanksgiving and then wait till the next year. And that's what separates Christian service from worldly service. So if you're here today and you're feeling that God is calling you to take a more active role in Christian service, but you're not sure where to start, you're in luck. Because Ocoee Oaks has an awesome culture of service. We have plenty of ministries that engage in Christian service to help both the church and our community here in Ocoee, as well as community around the globe. We have ministries such as the Love Pantry, which works to put food in the hands of food insecure children. We have the STARS program, which helps provide children with school supplies so they can get an education and better themselves. We have the Helping Hands Ministry, which is a men's ministry program that goes and helps those in our congregation with minor repairs, such as changing a light bulb for the people that may not be physically able to do that anymore. We have our mission trips to Pinedale, New Mexico, where we go and help the widows there. We have Jonathan, who's our missionary in Japan, who's doing a lot of work. This church is engaged in Christian service, and it's one of the things I love about it most. And so if you're looking for an opportunity to serve, you can just look here. And if you feel called to fill a need in the community, and we don't have a ministry for it yet, the great thing is you can start your own. You know, I know Pastor Don pretty well. and I know that he has never once said, we just don't have enough, we just have way too much volunteers this week. The fact is, if you come up to him and say, hey, I want to help, what can I do? Or, hey, I feel passionate about this, what do I need to do to get this started? He will gladly help you because he loves that about our church too. Now, I know with the Delta variant out, many of our traditional service opportunities have been put on hold or kind of limited. But we still have plenty of ways that you can safely serve the kingdom through the church. Just a couple examples. We have plenty of yard work that needs to be done, which helps make the play areas safer and nicer for the children who attend our school and free VPK program, which is a major service to the community by providing affordable preschool education. Another option is checking with church members who haven't been able to attend in person because of COVID to make sure everyone's doing okay and to see if they need anything. You know, as someone who's younger and who spends a lot of time with people, I kind of tend to skip over the fact, the impact a call can make, but there are many members, people in our community and members of our church who the call they get from Deb or someone else from the church saying, hey, how you doing? That might be the only call they get that week. And as the youth taught us last week, fellowship is very important. So it's just something as simple as checking in on people can make a world of a difference. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which Deb read earlier, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. As Christians, we are made to be a new creation. And what that means is that we need to throw off lots of our old ways. And if we are truly a new creation, to use a computer analogy, we can't be running on our old settings. This is why Christian service is so important. It grounds us in our new identity as a child of God. It enables us to grow in our faith, which in turn grows and helps the kingdom. That's why our message today is titled Changing Our Defaults. Because Christian service is our outward visual representation showing that we are not who we used to be. Because yes, anyone can serve, but not anyone can do Christian service. Because it is centered around God, it is designed to help people with a good and pleasant heart, and it's a lifestyle, not an action. So before I close, I'd like to leave you with a question. What areas in your life do you engage in Christian service? Because I know many of you do a lot. And the question is, what areas can you improve on? Now, I know I'm not perfect on it. And when I was writing this sermon, I realized that I kind of have to look at myself a little bit and see what areas do I need myself to improve on. But that's the great thing. God knew that we weren't going to be perfect. He knew that we weren't going to get it all right on the first try. Or the second, or the third, or the... That's why he sent Jesus, his only son, to die on a cross. To give us something permanent and real to stand on. And at the end of the day, that's the major power of Christian service. Because if service is done in the name of wisdom, it may be good, but wisdom's temporary. If it's done in the name of helping individuals, that's good, but they're mortal. If it's done to make us feel better about ourselves and help because we want to improve the world, that's great, but eventually the world will pass away. Instead, our service needs to be based around the one permanent thing in our lives, and his name is Jesus. And it is when we do this that we can learn to both better love God and in turn, better love people. Thank you.